Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Zoe. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Philadelphia's Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, WPHT HD, WOGL HD3, Philadelphia. From the Piazza Premium Automobile Studios.
Powering your drive with 10 brands and 20 locations.
Always live on the free Odyssey app. It's Dom time. Now, Dom Giordano.
All right, it is Dom time. For 74 years, Americans have gathered on the National Day of Prayer to open their hearts in prayer. And annually, it's been kind of a tradition. I think we made it almost every year. I don't know how many years. Gabrielle Bruno joins us to talk about the Delaware County version of this for the 74th Annual National Day of Prayer, 11:30 a.m., Thursday, May 1st at Rose Tree Park in Upper Providence. So that's this Thursday, May 1st. You can join them there, and she'll tell us what goes on and all the festivities they have around that. The Continental Congress proclaimed it in 1775, setting aside a day of prayer. Let's go to Gabrielle Bruno here on Talk
Radio. Do we need more Italian lawyers on the show, Dom?
Why? Is Gabrielle an attorney, too?
She's an Italian attorney. We had, you know, Bacchetto,
and then
the law school dropout, and then...
Yeah, that counts. I don't need to go to law school. I won moot court. What can Bacchetto and Kearns bring them both down in there?
Gabrielle said before coming on, she was very happy to hear all the pro-Italian stuff on today's show. Yeah,
Gabrielle, I didn't know you were an attorney.
I am. Hello. Thank you for having me. I am an Italian attorney. I have a law firm in Delaware County, Newtown Square. And I've been so delighted to hear all of these good reports, not just pro-Italian, but your whole program today, all of the winning that's happening in America. We shouldn't be surprised, because for 74 years, we've had an annual National Day of Prayer. And that's just a highlight. We have had Americans praying day after day after day for centuries, and it's so beautiful to see the Lord answering our prayer, and that's what we're seeing walked out in our nation through this administration, through politics, even in the culture. Look at the change with the Eagles. A few years ago, they weren't going to go to the White House. Now here they are going to the White House. So we really see that the prayers that people are praying, asking the Lord to bless our nation, are working. And that's what the National Day of Prayer is all about. It's one of my favorite things to share with you guys. Every year, by law, on the first Thursday of May, the nation turns to the Lord in prayer. And this is really important. It is the National Day of Prayer. Every president, Republican and Democrat, has recognized it for 74 years. And I am the co-director of the National Day of Prayer Task workforce. So we are the Judeo-Christian expression, and we work really hard every year to make sure that prayer comes into the community. This week, on Thursday, May 1st, I can't believe it's already going to be May, Thursday, May 1st, we will gather in Rose Tree Park, and this will be the 32nd Delaware County observance. For 32 consecutive years, we have met in that park on the first Thursday of May to pray. We come together last year, hundreds, over 500 people came to that park to pray, which wasn't a surprise because we were in a very tumultuous time. It was an election year. Nobody knew what was going on. And so hundreds of people came out. Last year, for the first time ever, we actually had a food truck, Sabatino's Mobile Pizzeria, who said, we want to come and donate free lunch for everybody because we think prayer is so important and we want to help people be able to come to the park to pray. The National Day of Prayer, by law, it's a Thursday. They said it has to be a day other than Sunday. That's a big part of this, is that we all, yes, churches, we come together on Sundays to pray, but God is the Lord every day, and he wants us to cry out to him. So we gather at the park, outdoors, beautiful weather. We're expecting beautiful, beautiful weather. We'll have some chairs, but you're welcome to bring chairs or picnic blankets. You can bring a picnic lunch, but Sabatino's Mobile Pizzeria will be back again with free pizza for everybody. We have a Mr. Softy ice cream truck. The first 100 people will get free ice cream, and we come together to pray, and we have different people from the community. It is all, it's ecumenical, so Catholic, Protestant, we come together, we all pray to Jesus. It's only prayers to Yeshua, Jesus Christ. We pray for our education system, our children, our families. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We pray for our government leaders. We pray for the church. We pray for the media, arts, entertainment, news. We're going to be praying for AI, the internet, technology. We pray for the veterans, the businesses. We cover it all. We have personal, we have a prayer tent with a team of personal prayer ministers. So at any time we're doing corporate prayer, you also can go and speak one-on-one and have somebody pray with you for yourself, for your family, for your grandchildren or your kids, whatever might be going on. We have that available. And the other thing that we love, we have set up all of these tables with free resources. We have free books about prayer. We have free prayer resources, and we invite local ministries that can come and they share about how they serve the community, all different resources. Grand Stepping Up comes. They're an organization that is helping grandparents because nowadays so many grandparents are stepping into the parental role. So they'll be there. We have Moms in Prayer that can share about how moms can be involved in prayer. Amnion Pregnancy Center will be there with information. So it's a really incredible time for the church, right? The entire church to come together to pray to Jesus, to bless our land, to bless our nation, and to meet others in the community that might be outside of your church walls, but are praying to the Lord and asking him to bless our nation. And it's working. That's all I can say, because we see the answered prayers throughout our nation day by day, all these victories. You know, just this week, I want to just encourage you guys, this week, I was working late. My family, we do this together, my mom, Patty, my dad, Joe. And we were working late one day, and we ordered pizza from Drexel Hill Style Pizza. And the person comes and knocks on the door to deliver it. And it turns out he was really friendly. It was the owner's son and the next owner of Drexel Hill Style Pizza. And I looked and I said, hey, would you, if we give you National Day of Prayer flyers, would you put them with your pizzas and deliver them? And he smiled from ear to ear. He said, absolutely anything for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And that was just a random guy. And so there's been so many miracles. The Lord is on the move. He's doing good things. And that's the theme for this year. It's Romans 15:13. I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in him. And then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. So the whole theme the Lord has brought to the National Day of Prayer this year, as we're in Rose Tree Park, around the nation, millions of Americans will be praying simultaneously on this day for God's joy and peace to bless our nation. So we're really excited. I want to make sure y'all know you can go to our website. It's www.NationalDayOfPrayerDelco. That stands for Delaware County. So DELCO.com. It's www.NationalDayOfPrayerDelco.com. And there's information, posters, flyers, the history. It's all there. And we're just really excited, Dom. It's going to be a great year.
Absolutely. Well, Gabrielle, say hello to your mom, too, and dad. And thank you. And thanks to all the sponsors and Mr. Softy. 11:30 this Thursday at Rose Tree Park. Thanks, Gabrielle, as always.
Thank you, Dom. God bless you. God bless you. Or maybe I should say, ciao, everybody, from an Italian-American who's loving what's happening in our nation.
Thank you, Gabrielle. Thank you very much. More enthusiastic than usual, even. I remember when we first started with Patty, Dan. It was...
Yeah, I was just telling Henry the whole history there.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Patty. It's really cool because Patty's Gabrielle's mother, right?
Right, yep.
And passed it down to the daughter, and she cares so much about the program now.
Yeah,
it's cool.
And it was just random. Baquetto, Giordano,
Borowski. More,
it
kind of falls off.
We got Van Drew, we got Garrity. No, we're off the track there a little bit. Yeah.
Pressler, is he?
No, I think, I don't know. That's quite a mixture.
Gosh,
with
man,
Scott
we need more Italians.
Yeah, more Italians. You can never get enough.
What's the Italian bat signal? A breadstick in the air?
Sons of Italy, write all letters to Dan Borowski at Talk Radio 1210. All right, 855-839-1210. So that's happening this Thursday. You got the side question. Something concealed. I like the FDR one on Twitter, but some cover-up coming off Chernobyl, the ultimate attempted cover-up. That's what we're looking for. Biden. Cigarette makers. All right, they're all there.
How about NBA rigging the 1985 lottery so the Knicks can pick Patrick Ewing?
I think the allegation has been out there a few times on that, so yeah.
Yeah.
And some of the referee stuff, there's looks to be
like Shaq to the Magic.
Yeah, yes. 2002 Western Conference Finals.
Yes.
Lakers Kings.
Right.
They totally rigged that for the Lakers. They didn't want to see the Sacramento Kings have any success.
Yeah, that looked to me that way too, without a doubt. Okay. So coming up, SEPTA has fare evasion now in the center. And so what? Well, we had on the head of SEPTA talking about this. That's what he was going to do. They have a special prosecutor. Larry Krasner is still running. I have to commend them, though. They have launched enforcement, and I'll give you some of the details on this, on fare evaders. Now, in New York, you may remember when Giuliani took over, it was stopping people fare evading on the subways. It was stopping the squeegee guys. It was stopping all the quality of life things. Why have they not done it before? That's a good question, but they are now. And you know the special prosecutor is that person going to prosecute? Would Larry Krasner prosecute? I don't know if Judge Dugan is bringing any of this up. I've kind of lost track of the campaign. I hope he gets back on track. But the SEPTA Police Chief Lawson, good guy that we've had on before, he's confirmed for 1:30 tomorrow. Now, remember, it's not just whether you ride SEPTA constantly. It's the amount of taxpayer money, both local, federal, state, that is ungodly that goes into this. Why would they not collect the fares? Well, now they're cracking down. What will Larry Krasner do? He will not prosecute. Can you use that in this election? Yeah, you would think so. And look, I don't want to be critical of Dugan. I'm going to have to take a vow here of silence. But I got to tell you from the inside, I get pretty mad, Judge Dugan. I got to tell you, man to man, it just, we saw this with Carlos Vega the last time. We're not radioactive. We are the media that you need. If he says, well, you're on with Dom Giordano, say, blank you. Stand up here. Say it again about my wife. Really? You cannot consort with Republicans. Well, we're conservatives. We don't like the Republican Party establishment either. Oh, then that's really out of bounds. So I guess if you want to win in Philadelphia, you can't be involved with talk radio. That's what the bottom line. That's what people are counseled. And how are we supposed to react? Are we supposed to pretend, oh, that's okay? I don't think so. We have pride in what we do, too. And there's no way in the world. Think about it. We're radioactive. But Larry Krasner, who has done more damage, I would argue, I have to think over the last 50 years, but can we name anybody in Philadelphia that's done more damage, actual lives lost, actual degradation, businesses leaving? I mean, Wilson Good did blow up a neighborhood. That's true. But I think Krasner, that was just one day. There was snow on his TV, too. Did you realize that? Larry Krasner never said snow was on it. Did you know that, Dan?
That's ridiculous.
And he was a coward.
Wait, so he's saying he couldn't get a full grasp of the situation?
Yes, because he had too much snow on his TV. And
he
refused to go there because this is all court testimony.
Wait, hold on. This is the guy that the road's now named after?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Wilson Good, yeah.
Like, is it the same street as the MOVE bombing?
It's right there, around there. Yes,
really?
I believe so. Yep.
And what an insult to injury.
And again, cowardice. He said he couldn't go there to survey the scene. They told him he might be assassinated.
Krasner's still worse. Like citywide? No, because you saw the departure of Rittenhouse Square. Right. I remember the businesses. There was, you walked, what would it be? Just, west in Rittenhouse Square. And it was an entire block. I remember taking a picture. It was just 8 for rent signs in the windows just because people fleed the city.
Yeah, exactly. Look at what happened in the George Floyd summer. Look at what he did. We just talked about the Rizzo statue. They set it on fire. Thank God McSwain was here, the U.S. attorney. He's the only one that caught the woman. Due to Etsy, where she got her shirt from, she came here with gloves that protected her and set fire, blew up police cars right there in front of City Hall. Yeah, Larry Krasner has done more damage. So I guess my duty, our duty in talk radio is to take it. We befriended it. We did all that we could. We're supposed to just shut up then. You got to take one for the team here, Dom. Don't you get it? You know, at least if the judge would tell Dan or, you know, through underlined saying, look, guys, come on. We love coming up. But you got to realize in Philadelphia, we just can't be associated. I'm thinking that with Barkley here under attack on Reddit. He did the right thing. He played golf with Trump. He had lunch with him. He did an event sometime in the past. Why did he have to go on Twitter and explain himself? He is the president. You don't have to explain it. As soon as you start explaining it to this mob, it's problematic.
Kind of get it from Dugan, though. Like, because
You're making a good point. Go ahead.
And the thing is, though, if you're on the left in Philadelphia, you're trying to appeal to leftists in Philadelphia. I don't know if it's a vote against me because I'm friendly towards Trump, but I do think there's a sense of I'm not going to go out and be passionate about this guy being anti-Krasner, even if you're on the left and anti-Krasner, just if he shows any figment of support for Trump. And I think Krasner kind of showed his hand in how he's going to run this election. Is he's going to try to frame Dugan as a pro-Trump candidate and completely ruin any shot he has. So I think Dugan might be scrambling right now because I don't know if he knows how to respond to that accusation.
Well, we can coach him up. I'm happy to do that. So
would anyone know, though? Is anyone left of Larry?
you can frame
that way for anybody.
That's true.
Right.
Yeah.
Not only that, look. Campaign's not well run. I have this. It's my first commandment. Somebody brings up your wife, you drop the gloves right there. You tell a whole crowd, no, I'm not saying anything else. That's it right here. It's a winner. It is a stone cold winner every time. And every time Krasner opens his mouth, stand up and bring up the wife. You haven't answered. Stand up, you punk. If that doesn't work in Philadelphia, then Philadelphia is more hopeless than even I can imagine. Because at this rate, Krasner is going to win re-election. The fare evasion is a perfect thing here. Are we hearing that? Does Larry Krasner prosecute shoplifting? The answer is no. Does he prosecute fare evasion? The guy is a liberal who heads up SEPTA and came on, and we have the police chief tomorrow. What are they supposed to do if you won't even enforce evading fare? We know that it works. It worked in New York. If you crack down on that, you send a message. If people can just avoid it, you also send a message. Okay, I'll give you the details on that.
You teased the audio of Dugan with the wife situation. You want that audio?
Yeah, let's hear that. Dan, with the moderator in West Philly. Yeah.
Why don't you go look at the video of the Josie case, the one that was decided by this judge with his wife, a uniformed police officer, well, at least a police officer.
Don't pull my wife's name in your mouth, young man.
Yeah, let's not go there.
Well, how about this? Don't put her in in your courtroom when you're deciding a cop's innocence. You have video.
She's a citizen.
You're going to get a reply, though.
Okay. Everybody knows that should have been recused. Well, you should never have a family member in the room. And everybody knows who sees that video that he was guilty. You need a DA who's going to put the truth ahead of ambition, the truth ahead of politics, and you know you already have that DA.
Thank you.
Again, if you can't see that, Dan, I told Sam Katz the same thing. You weren't here then, but imagine Maisie. Imagine you're walking in, even at your size, but normal size. Sam Katz, normal size guy. Some little 5'6" guy with a bullhorn is calling her in front of thousands of people, in your ear and in your face, the C word. Okay,
yeah.
If you don't drop that guy
yeah.
right there, you shouldn't be mayor of Philadelphia. That's the test.
Yeah, no, it's
yeah, Frank Rizzo, you can imagine what would happen to that guy. Right? Can't let him do it.
Like if someone, a caller, said anything about Roe, you kidding me?
Yeah, I mean, it's they're civilians. Yeah, it's or maybe even more the kids. I mean, it's civilians. Every guy knows that. So, Judge, the next time, just bring it up. Well, I got to follow the rules with the moderator. There are no rules in Philadelphia. If there were rules, Larry Krasner would not be the DA. What does it take for you to understand there's no rules? You do whatever you want to win. That's all it's about. It's winning and stopping this guy. There's no protocol. I don't care what the moderator says. Nobody's going to take you out of there. Don't talk about anything else. Talk about that.
Going back to Trump, though, I mean, the guy's also in the stage of a campaign, Dugan
right.
being, that he's got to worry about endorsements. So
right.
if he gets labeled with that pro-Trump candidate, is that going to be harder to get endorsements of? Like, he's already got the building trades, right?
Oh, yeah, but he's being called pro-Trump, and he's nowhere near Trump. No. Krasner's going to do this, Dan, no matter what you do.
But I don't think people recognize the nuance, especially in a district attorney's race, if all they're watching is local news and such.
Yeah.
You know, so if they get the headline of Krasner blasting this message that this guy's pro-Trump, then it's going to turn people off to the polls.
Well, that's why I would go with the wife thing, and he's a coward.
Yeah.
Can you have a DA who is a coward, won't stand man-to-man? Tell that guy to his face about the wife. Let's hear more on that. That's what you have to work with. Okay. 855-839. I take your point, though. I get wound up when talk radio is disrespected. There's no reason. When the judge came on, we're not talking about Trump with him or anything else. We're talking about what he's going to do as DA. If we're not good enough to do that, then oh well. You just can't cut us loose and expect we just behind the scenes go away. I'm not going to do that. I just don't think it's correct. So listeners are just all trumped up. That's all they care about. That's why they don't like Krasner. No. All right. Jeff Van Drew will be here at 1:30, but I'll give you the fair evasion stuff coming up at 855-839-1210. All right. Tom Giordano program. So, boy, what a weekend for sports. We've been ongoing with the Eagles at the White House. Bill Belichick, though, looked very Belichickian with a Navy where his father coached, and he may have been an assistant there at one point.
What a terrible shirt.
Well, it looked like he dresses, though. It's a big hole. It's and he's on 60 Minutes with the guy who...
He should wear a towel on his shoulder.
the guy who is on the morning show and had a lot of trouble around an anti-Semitic author that was on, and the guy was right, Tony D., and he's asking simple questions about Belichick.
Wait, Tony Dukopoulos? Or
yeah, Dukopoulos.
Poop Patrol?
That's
yes.
that guy.
Yeah, that's that guy.
Poop Patrol?
Ah.
Who, he just asked, how did you guys meet? She's what, 24? He's in his 70s. Here's how it sounded. And you hear the voice. She's monitoring the interview with Belichick. Here's how it sounded.
Jordan was a constant presence during our interview.
You have Jordan right over there. Everybody in the world seems to be following this relationship. They've got an opinion about your private life. It's got nothing to do with them, but they're invested in it. How do you deal with that?
Never been too worried about what everybody else thinks. Just try to do what I feel like is best for me and what's right.
How did you guys meet?
Not talking about this.
No?
No.
It's a topic neither one of them is comfortable commenting on.
Wow. I mean, it's already bad enough that she seems to be driving things here. She's, I guess, relatively attractive, 24. He's in his 70s. Has Belichick lost even once in Tua credibility.
Wow.
I mean, NFL teams didn't want him before, I guess because they thought he would micromanage, take over too much. Now, who's going to get a job first in the NFL? The defensive coordinator of the Atlanta Falcons, even though I don't think he ought to be fired.
He shouldn't.
Or Bill Belichick. Well, we'll see.
He should be fired. Not Bill Belichick.
Yeah. This woman, though, can you imagine the embarrassment of engaging that? What the heck does he give her license to do that?
Like the gall to, like, how does that, because I have the picture up on youtube.com/@12NWPHD, and she was sitting, I guess, next to a producer monitoring.
Yes, with the producer, too.
And the gall to say, because when you have, so like for example, we did an interview. You did an interview with CBS recently.
Right.
And how it worked is you guys were put in a room. And could you imagine if your manager or your agent or I was like, hey, I'm going to sit there, and every time you ask a question that I don't want Dom to answer, I'm going to like the goal to do that, especially as a significant other, is ridiculous.
Yeah, well, she's on the field at the spring practice or whatever it was in North Carolina, seemingly directing stuff. So
I think it's more ridiculous that neither of them even thought that question would ever come up.
Well, but it's not a question of even a question. It's just that, you know, how do you think you're just going to say that she's going to say we're not answering?
Yeah, no, that's bad.
Anything.
That's bad on her part, but I think it's bad on both their parts
for sure.
They've never discussed, like, hey, if you do a public interview,
people
are going to want to know why you're dating someone 50 years younger than you and how that came to be.
Yeah, exactly. So how they met was a
now the internet is rife with, like, you know, speculation. Any thoughts on what it could be?
Oh, what they meant? Yeah. Something about fishing or crabbing or shelling or something.
I've seen probably the one you're alluding to, Dan.
Yeah. There's something about fishing, that he's a fisherman.
Yeah,
I heard that.
I don't think it was fishing.
No, but there we go. All right.
Well, he might have been fishing, but it's not for fish.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. All right, so it's Jeff Van Drew, the first 100 days, as he's spoken with the president recently. We'll ask him what's the key to him, all that. He's next on Talk Radio 1210. All right, Dom Giordano show momentarily. We should talk with Congressman Jeff Van Drew, kind of our salute to the 100 days. We heard from Stephen Moore today, first 100 days of the Trump administration. By the way, I'm looking at a story of this priest out in Chester County who just pleaded guilty to using $40,000 on his credit card given him by the church for expenses, and a large part of it was video games.
Who's this?
A priest in Chester County just pleaded guilty. And Catholics for Change, an advocacy group, says with the current 17% mass attendance, the Archdiocese is encouraging everyone to return, but there's been no change in the clerical culture or lack of oversight that allows crimes to happen for years before being caught. $40,000, and somehow or another...
Over how long?
A few years, a couple years or so. Yeah, video games.
But my thing is, like, if it wasn't video games as the, you know, hot button keyword there, if it were, you know, nice dinners for himself, would we be having the same conversation?
Sure. He took $40,000 from these parishes, but... I mean, video games does seem to be kind of strange, and this is what the guy's engaged in. Look at it.
Well, I'd rather video games than other things if he's a priest, you know?
Well, that's true, yes. But how does it go on in a church like that where there's not an audit, is what she's saying,
that's
that people
point.
Know what the heck happened here? All right. Let's go to Congressman Jeff Van Drew to get an update here, 100 days of the Trump administration. Hey, Congressman, afternoon. Thanks for joining us today.
Always good to be with you, Dom.
So if you've talked to President Trump recently, you're one of our conduits, along with Bill O'Reilly. What's the sense the president has this Atlantic interview? I don't know if you saw it. I'm glad he did it, because their critics, they said Trump feels very good, having a lot of fun in what he's doing, even though it's serious, and almost invincible, given the support that he's getting.
And he is having fun. And, you know, it's a definition of fun. So, you know, for some folks, fun is going on a cruise or just, you know, sitting on the beach in a lounge chair or playing video games. But for President Trump, it really, truly, he is a worker. He likes to be engaged. I mean, you really do. And I know that you do know. You have to know him to realize that he's nonstop. And I mean this sincerely, like him or not. And I forget, there was somebody I forget which one of the media sort of a column on him, an editorial, and pretty much said what I'm going to say now. And then it was somebody from the left that said, whatever you say about the guy, he has raised the bar as far as a work ethic. I mean, he is literally, it seems, 24/7. He doesn't sleep a lot. Doesn't, you know, it's amazing. Doesn't sleep a lot. Doesn't eat well. I'm kind of an, you know, a little bit of a nut, you know, trying to.
Wait a minute for that. Could we put the latest of the congressman up on YouTube, Dan, if you find anything there? It looks like even better shape. This is getting ridiculous. I saw a picture the other day. Yeah. You were with a bunch of people. So come on now. You're making it, when you're at Mulligan's this year, we're going to have to fatten you up. We can't have this.
No, it's all good. It's all good. But in any event, he doesn't, you know, he eats burgers, Diet Coke, doesn't get enough sleep, and he thrives. He loves people. He loves the interaction. He loves making things happen and doing things. And that's why he's very fulfilled in the job. Even though, I mean, let's face it, be candid, he gets the daylight speed out of him by the left. They just won't stop. I mean, it's every single thing he does, whether it's the color of a navy blue suit when he goes to the Pope's funeral. I mean, it just, you know, come on. I mean, enough.
Well,
you know,
well, particularly on that, Biden had a blue suit on. I think it's appropriate. You know, we're past that everybody has to wear black to something like that, women included. You know, it wasn't springtime or anything. Congressman, I just saw this talk today, and you're the guy to talk with us about the prediction, or at least what they want to do, is to get this big tax bill done by July 4th. Is that possible?
I think it is. Everybody is going to have to cooperate, however, and that is the big question. I am on the same page, not because I'm just doing whatever the president says, as I've been accused of. You know, I guess you've been following. I've got a traveling circus with me now, which is fine. But whether it's at my office or I had a fundraiser the other day or wherever I am, we've got a few hundred people that like to follow me around and protest and say mean things. But nevertheless, and one of the things they say is I just do whatever President Trump wants. Well, most of the things he wants are pretty damn good, but sometimes we disagree on something. Here's the bottom line. We can do this, but I mean this sincerely, there are good people we don't want to hurt. President Trump's on the same page. In fact, the other day, he went even further out and said, you send me a bill where we're hurting good people on Medicaid, Medicare, or Social Security, I'm going to veto it. He's been clear, but we have a few members in Congress that keep saying, well, we want to do the Trump agenda, so we want to cut it to the bone, and I'm going to, you know, paraphrase this now, and hurt people. He doesn't want to hurt people.
Well, let me ask you if you could, and I realize this is preliminary. You raised a great point. So what's the metric here when we hear this? You're inside this. What are they arguing? Now, they're going to argue anything's over the line, but you and I know there are people on Medicaid that are able-bodied, shouldn't be there. They've been there forever. What would the metric be? Where's your mind to what you could accept and some of that we're going to cut? Do you have that formulated?
Yes, sure do. And I've said it many times, and I'll say it again because I want to be very concise and very clear. I will not support and will not vote for a bill that cuts benefits to eligible legal recipients, whether they are, you know, institutions like hospitals or whether they are individual human beings. Now, I've been clear on that, and those are precise words. Now, within that framework, we absolutely can save money. You're an able-bodied young guy. You're 26 years old. You just don't feel like getting off your butt and working too bad. You got to work. And if you don't want to work and you say you can't find a job, then you got to volunteer somewhere and actually get some things done. If you're illegal, no, you don't get Medicaid. That's a benefit of being a United States citizen. Mm-hmm. You should not. And you know, waste, fraud, and abuse. And there really is. I know we use those terms a lot, but there really are. There is instances of waste, fraud, and abuse. Work requirements are important. That's a big piece right there that I just mentioned. And there are other areas within that framework. And by the way, making sure that as we go forward, that we do have guardrails and that we're still going to increase, you know, it's just the nature of it. There's inflation. The amount going to Medicaid is going to go up. but let's control it a little bit more in the future, not cut what people have now. Nobody's trying to hurt people. And let me say this, and I've said this to you before, because I really feel strongly about this. I know good numbers of hard-working, good individuals who in some way get some Medicaid benefits. It might be their health insurance at work in 6 days a week. They just don't make a lot of money, Dom. That's not their fault. You don't punish them. And guess what? They're Republicans. The new Republican Party is a populist party of blue-collar workers, that not all of whom are getting in and out of limousines every day. And that applies to some of the other areas we're talking about. So we've got to work on this together.
I wanted to go into, the things that I'm most passionate about, even though they don't affect me, I want to see taxes cut for every American in every way that we can. And two big things, the tax on tips, the tax on overtime, do they have a shot?
I think they do. It's going to be interesting. See, in that mix is my bill, and it won't be in the form of just my bill, but no taxes on Social Security. Here you are, you're a senior citizen, you worked your ass off your whole life. You finally are getting Social Security, but you can't make it because of the Biden inflation, which is going to be around still for a while. So you got to go out and you get a part-time job. You see everywhere you go, there's tons of seniors working everywhere. And you get a part-time job, you make some more money, you get taxed, you get punished because you're just trying to live. That's nonsense. There shouldn't be taxes on Social Security, number one. Number two, especially tips. These people work hard. It incentivizes people getting out there and working. I have always been supportive of that. I loved when the president did it. Overtime, I'm fine with, too, to encourage hard work. Little more complicated. There's some tricky things that people could do to abuse the system there a little bit, but if it can be worked out, I'm good with it as well. We will generate income and revenue to the United States of America because of it. This notion that you tax heavier and heavier, the worse things get with the budget, is retrogressive. What happens is the more you tax, the worse it gets, the worse it gets, the more you're taxed, and it's terrible, and you have to stop that. We want to see growth.
Let me ask you, and you don't have to go macro on this, your personal, because you were the engineer of something that was, I look back on that day, I can't believe 50,000, 75,000 people came to Wildwood. What's the capstone?
102,000.
102,000. All right, keep the video. It might have been. There were three Trump stores in Wildwood, just selling nothing but Trump stuff. It's only a small town. What's the big thing for you? Not big and just the biggest thing, but the personal moment or these first 100 days. What do you remember best?
In the 100, that's one. But that's before the 100 days.
Right.
But that was a phenomenal event. Just
lifetime.
For people that weren't
lifetime.
There.
Yeah.
Nobody got hurt. Nobody fighting. Nothing bad being said. Nobody drunk. Just good Americans enjoying life, enjoying the president, enjoying each other. But you know what's a big one for me? And there's a lot. Gosh almighty. I mean, we're down to a trickle on the border. Horrible things were happening. Changing the judiciary, changing what went on in the Department of Justice. And I'm the chairman of oversight in judiciary. And we're still digging in, man. We're going to reveal more and more. That's huge because we're losing our First Amendment rights. We were losing our nation, our people were losing their freedom. People don't realize it, but I'm telling the truth here. And then finally, on a very personal note, but affects a lot of people in Pennsylvania and New Jersey, because people love the Jersey Shore. Damn it, we said we were going to stop these windmills. They told me it's inevitable. That's the word. I love that word, inevitable. They love to use it all the time. You're not supposed to fight back. It's inevitable. They're going to happen. Well, we had a president that kept his word to me, and his word to America, and his word to the Jersey Shore, and we've stopped.
Exactly.
And they were bad. They were bad.
Now, I wanted to hit you with this. Dan, you jump in, Congressman. Dan's just seen this tweet that we think is reliable, because even 6ABC Congressman has been talking about some eagle or eagles might not show up at the White House.
Yeah, this is Yamiche Alcindor from NBC News, White House correspondent, says, a White House official confirms to me that Eagles quarterback Jalen Hurts will not be visiting the White House when the Super Bowl champions come later this afternoon. The White House says Hurts and other players who can't attend had, quote, scheduling conflicts.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, you don't have a scheduling conflict when it comes to meeting the president. I'm sad to see that, but it isn't all of them. And certainly we've seen that there are folks who are absolutely going. and they're going to be great. And it's going to be a great day. And the president, I think, has been traveling around with our unbelievably great running back. He had him on, you know, his plane and had him on Marine One and just a lot of good things happening. Here's the deal. You really should respect the office. But see, this is what the media does. And this is what's been drilled into people's heads. So the story they want it to be is not the good story of the Eagles that are actually going there. That's not going to be the story. The story is going to be about the ones who didn't go there, and they're going to talk about them. They're going to talk about Jalen Hurts, you know, but they're not going to talk about, you know, all the other folks like Saquon Barkley, who was, again, on Air Force One with them and had a great time and was respectful. How about that's the real story? It's shameful. You know, if you won the Super Bowl, and God help him if Joe Biden had even realized you won, and he was the president, you still go out of respect to the fans, out of respect to the United States of America and the presidency.
I would agree. I was thinking in my mind, your wife's gone into labor, your mom or dad died, or one of your kids, sadly, day. I can't think of too many more things. I don't care what kind of condition you're in. You get invited, whoever the president is. And I think I told you, Congressman, I interviewed George W. Bush and Laura Bush. I remember being invited to the White House to broadcast from there. Bill Clinton, who was entertaining but stomach churning beyond belief. It's the office. My son, DJ, was only 14, said he couldn't shake the president's hand. I said, you can't go then. You're shaking the hand of the office. That's all that you're doing.
Yeah. There is respect for that. There really is and should be respect for the office. I always do. I was in agony, I don't know how else to say it, at the last State of the Union address that Joe Biden gave. I'm sure you remember.
Oh, yeah.
It was just a horrible political rally, and he was saying things that were just not – it was bad. But I stayed there, man. I went, and I sat there, and I was biting my lip and biting my tongue, but I did my job as a U.S. congressman.
You're right. And I think when Obama went after Supreme Court justices, how to sit in the front row, I couldn't commend them more, no matter what their politics are. They did the manly and womanly thing. They took it. They didn't like it, but they didn't jump up and start yelling at him, even though it's ungodly to go after Supreme Court people who can't talk. No president should do that. Congressman, thank you. Thanks so much for joining us.
Always good to be with you. Yeah, and by the way, everybody's going to be there today, and I'm going to be there at the White House with our Eagles. Because I think, you know, I got some people that like me in the district and in the whole region and the area. But, man, I wouldn't want to have to run against that Eagles running back in an election. Fortunately, I don't think he has any political.
Thank you. Always look into the future. Thanks, Congressman.
You're welcome. You take care.
All right, hat tip to Dan, who got that first. Say it again, Dan, here, so we know what we're talking about between now and the end of the show.
I'm going to spend a lot of time on this, right? Yamiche Alcindor says, a White House official confirms to me that Eagles quarterback Jalen Hurts will not be visiting the White House when the Super Bowl champions come later this afternoon. The White House says Hurts and other players who can't attend had, quote, scheduling conflicts.
All right, so first of all, let's stipulate there's no scheduling conflict. We knew about this in advance. What was the scheduling conflict? There is none. Whoever the president is, the White House, particularly in something like this. So if you don't want to go, just say you can't go in good conscience. You're in the camp that says you're enabling something that can't be enabled.
It's the leader of the team, you got to go.
Yeah.
Well, because everything now, if we get off to a slow start, was there, you know, a distrust that was broiled during the White House visit because Saquon went and Jalen didn't, and they've been best friends up until that moment. Right. And, you know, it's.
Well, I think.
That'll be great radio.
It will be.
Well, I think there's going to be more pressure on Barkley now, and he's going to have to even renounce even more than he. It disappointed me. Look, he played golf with a guy. Took the ride. He didn't have to Washington. All good. You don't have to put up a tweet saying it's just the office. You don't have to endorse Trump. You don't have to say anything.
The internet's not real. Who cares? Live your life.
Well, I don't know what that means here.
It's not real. The internet isn't real. It's not a real thing.
Yeah, like no matter how much negative criticism you get on the internet, it's not going to. Well, I disagree.
Yeah, you're right. I think that there's going to be criticism all the way around.
I think it makes more of a spectacle now that he's not going. Right.
So it's, I didn't think it was anything when we had that last week with him. I thought it was just a reporter. He was tired or whatever. When he wouldn't answer, he was going to the White House. And now that appears to be the case. Okay. Phone lines are 855-839-1210. Coming up, we'll take more of your calls. That's the news, and I think it's pretty solid. 6 ABC was saying there's uncertainty about who's going to go. They reported that earlier today. They didn't name Jalen Hurts. They just said in general around this. We'll see if there's anybody else. We'll see if there's any commentary on it, which there will be. And in addition to that, Scott Presler will be with us. We'll get a catch up on what's happening in Pennsylvania. First 100 days with Scott Presler. All that straight ahead on Talk Radio 1210. All right, Dom Giordano's show. So, again, you heard Jeff Van Drew will be at the White House. We're going to talk to Stacey Garrity, the treasurer of Pennsylvania. She'll be with us around 2:30. I think she might be at the White House by that point, about the first 100 days. But the breaking news that we think is pretty solid here. We're hearing indications of it today that Jalen Hurts won't be there today. Scheduling conflict. We don't know if anybody else. And, of course, you have this duality of Saquon Barkley, who now, I think, in Philadelphia, my take is that he'll be under more pressure than Jalen Hurts. There's a large segment of people in Philadelphia that will support him not going to this. I don't think he's going to get nearly the backlash, or it'll be equal. The guy that went is more on the defensive than Jalen Hurts might. He might even be saluted in several circles. That you can't go with this guy. It's endorsing something that's not presidential. All right, we have a big hour left to break that down. Scott Presler is next, and we'll talk with him about Pennsylvania numbers and the first 100 days on Talk Radio 1210.
Dom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT.